Talk about prayer. That's quite a subject in the Bible. Go to Matthew, please, 21. Wanted to show you the cup that Christine and Zach got me. I don't know if it comes out backwards, but it says, only the best dads get promoted to grandpas. And Christine gave me that. And I don't know if all of you were on last week, but they made the announcement that they're going to have a baby, and I'm so thrilled and so grateful to God. We've been praying many, many years. What a great blessing. I guess the thing I want to share with you today with prayer is got to be with faith, and it's got to be with humility. So in 21, I want to cover this record. In verse 17, it says, "And he left them and went out of the city unto Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungered. And when he saw the fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled and said, How soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also, if you shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." That is quite a remarkable statement. And it's absolutely true. You understand? It's absolutely true. When you pray with faith, the Lord says it'll come to pass. Now, every prayer? No, things that are contrary to His word, things that are not according to His will. You know, I mean, those things are not going to, you keep it in reason here, okay? Things that are absolutely not according to His will, they're not going to be done. Things that are contrary to nature, you know what I mean? And I'm not talking about just the natural world, but the nature in which God, the progression in which things happen. It's not necessarily going to happen that way. But that's the kind of power that you have in prayer. As a believer, you pray, doubting nothing. No doubt. Now that's quite, just think about that. No doubt. What does that mean? You're absolutely convinced, beyond a shadow of a doubt. There's just no doubt. And a lot of people have a hard time just with that. It's one of the big things that trips people up is doubt. The whole world ministers. I try to minister and I pray to minister faith to you, to build your faith. The world builds your doubt. The world builds the doubt that the words that are spoken in the Bible are not true. The world builds doubt in just about every institution that is out there that's supposed to have integrity. The world just constantly builds doubt and worry, concern, anxiousness. And to get to that place where you believe that what the Lord says is absolutely true is something that you have to build in your life. I think when you're young, it's easier. When you're older, I think it's harder, personally. But it's definitely yours if we get there. Luke. Let's just read what it says. And Luke chapter 17, verse 1. It says, "Then said he unto his disciples, It is impossible but that offenses will come." You know, it's impossible to live in this life without being offended. So get over it. It's impossible. I mean, everybody's screaming, you're going to offend me, you're going to offend me. Everybody offends everybody. It's impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him though through whom they come. It'd be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he be cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. That's how you handle it. You just say, hey, you just offended me. All right? And if he repent, forgive him. That's it. It's done. Move on. Stuff happens. If he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day he turn again to thee and say, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto him, Lord, increase our faith. Oh, Lord, this is, I mean, I don't know if I can do that, believe that. I don't, you know, I mean, that's pretty much some of our reactions too, is it not? All right. And then Jesus Christ hits them right between the eyes with scripture. Look at what it says here. And the Lord said, if you had the faith as a mustard, as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing in a field, plowing or feeding cattle, shall say unto him by and by, immediately, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat, go ahead and have dinner, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and forward thou shalt eat, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Does he thank the servant because he did the thing that were commanded him? I trow not, I don't think so. So likewise you, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. When it comes to obeying Scripture, that's your duty. It's your responsibility to take the words of our Lord, take them to heart, and do them. It's your responsibility no matter what comes your way, because you and I are humble servants of the Lord. He has saved us. He has bled and died and paid the price for us on the cross. He has forgiven us all of our sins. He has forgiven you of everything. Imagine if there was a big old screen on the whole world, and they could see everything that you've ever done or ever thought. That would be a little bit embarrassing, wouldn't it? Every secret little evil thought that you had that ran through your mind, he's forgiven all of it. Why wouldn't you forgive If you've been forgiven for so much, why would you not give in return that forgiveness? This is what he's commanded. This is what he says should be done. Again, last week we talked about this, that if you don't forgive others, then your prayers won't be answered either. You won't be forgiven. It's what you've been given, you must give. You've been given love, you give love. You've been given mercy, you're merciful. You give what God and our Lord has done for you. Freely you have received, freely give, it says in the scriptures. Now I want to go back to this thing. When he says, it'd be better for you that this thing be hung around your head, the millstone be hung in your head. It would be, especially if you hurt the young ones, the little ones. You know, which is pretty much, when you take the innocent, the young, and you corrupt them, and you mess them up, and you cause them to doubt, like it's so prevalent today in the news, right? We got, let's confuse them about their sexuality, let's make them grow up quicker than they need to, take away their innocence. Then you know what? It would be better for that individual, not to have ever been born. Take that to heart, too. Hey, Charlie.
How are
you? Good. Go to John chapter 14. See, there's a difference between build my faith. You got the faith. If you have just a little bit of faith, you can cast the tree into the sea without doubt. But when it comes to the things that are written in the scriptures, don't be saying, I need more faith to do this. You don't need faith to do this. You just need humility and obedience. This is your duty to do. I told you to go to John chapter 14. And in verse, we'll start here in 13. Well, let's go back to 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Again, it's according to his will, according to his word. It's not. And there are prayers that you and I pray. I'm not exactly sure if this is according to his will. Okay? Plain and simple. You know, and if that be true, then it's a matter of God's mercy whether he's going to answer that prayer or not. You know, there are people who believe that every single soul's got to be healed. Well, that's not true. Because you read an awful lot of people that get sick and die in the Bible. All right? You know, and Paul, his companion, Epaphroditus, I believe it was, he was sick, nigh unto death. I mean, now Paul's done many miracles for people and when he walks into town, right? But he said, you know, he didn't get a miracle. It says God was merciful to me and to him, that he got better. You know, the guy at the temple gate, beautiful, remember? He was above 40 years old. He laid there every day. Jesus Christ had been through the temple many a time. He didn't heal that guy. But when his time came, when it was God's will for that individual to be healed. At that moment, that's when Peter walked up and says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." You don't determine the where, the when, the how. God does. God decides what is going to be done. You and I are his servants. We are his ministers. We are his children. Jesus Christ did nothing unless the Father told him to do it. He says this many times in the Gospels. So understand that. It's not by you, your human reasoning, that you decide to do a miracle. It may be in your heart to do them. But it does not give you, you don't have leave to play God. You do what he says, when he says, how he says, to whom he says. Do you follow me? He is God. Otherwise, you could run to the hospital and get the whole place, clean it up. Just go room to room, to go home, pick up your bed. You know, just like the Lord. The Lord did that because God told him to do it. Remember, he got that one guy who was by the pool, and he says, "I got nobody to put me in the pool." When the angel comes down and troubles the water, there were hordes of people around that pool. Jesus healed one man. All those healings that he did had a purpose, not just to heal the person. It was to prove that the word he was speaking was true. It was to prove that he was the Messiah to people. That was God's purpose. So, it's just something I think people have to get in through their head. You're going to do the works that he did, and greater things can you do, because I go unto my Father, he says. This is if you do it the way I did it. If you listen to the Father and you obey him and you do his word just like I have, then guess what? He'll lead you, he'll guide you, and you'll do great and magnificent things. And greater. God can do anything. All he needs is a humble, meek, obedient child doing their duty. But he says to them, when you pray, and three times in this record, I've taught it a number of times, John 13 through 17. He gives them the example of washing of feet. He says, you serve like I serve. He says, you love one another as I have loved you. You love like I have loved. And then he says, you obey the Father the way I obeyed him. And he repeats this three times. Whatever you ask, just like whatever I ask the Lord Jesus Christ, God will do. If you do it the same way I've done it, God will do it. See this, what do they call that? Simple for me, it's do what you're told and you get what I said. It's not you didn't earn it, you just this is the process in which it's done. We walk in the steps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have the same confidence that he has because we choose to. See, many people pray. And they pray, he says, you pray in my name. And they pray in that name of Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for everything. And they think that that's like a tagline that you put at the end of the prayer. They don't think about, remember I said no rote prayers, no mindless repetition. You're thinking about what you are saying when you pray. That in the name of Jesus Christ, when you pray that, the reason that you can ask the Father to do whatever it is that you are asking him is because Jesus Christ paid for it. Because at his name, every knee has to bow. Because there's nothing in heaven and earth or under the earth that can stand against that name. It's because of what he did, not because I am worthy. And unless you actively think about that, you have missed the point. You've just used that name at the end of the prayer like it's a good way to end the prayer. You're putting the authority of what God says in his word at the end of the words you're speaking. And remember, when you pray, God doesn't need a lecture. You know, just you're in, again from last week, you're in an audience with the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, who happens to be your Father. You still give him the awe and the respect that he deserves. You pay attention to who and what you're talking to and about. And then when you do end that prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, you realize that the reason I can speak this and the reason that God hears it and the reason is because of what my Lord and Savior has done, and he's given me the right to use his name. Kind of important. Go to John 15. John chapter 15, verse 16 says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." The whole point of your life is to walk the word and bring forth fruit. That's why you've been chosen. When you do that, then whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do. If you're doing the word, if you're walking like the Lord, I can guarantee you're not going to ask for stupid things. If you're walking like the Lord, I can pretty much guarantee that you're walking by that Spirit, and that he will direct your heart. It's just a beautiful thing if you think about it. But that is the footprint that it's talking about in Scripture when it gives these blanket statements. If you just in it, if you're like just working this so that you can get what you want out of life, when you want it, how you want it, no. That's not according to the will of God at all. There is a prerequisite. You want the power of Christ's prayer life, then you have to walk like him. And that's well available to us. And that doesn't mean we walk perfectly. Because he tells us all the time, when you screw up, ask for forgiveness and I'll forgive you. So it puts that in the Lord's Prayer. He doesn't expect perfection. He expects people who are endeavoring to do the will of the Lord. Go to Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verse 14. Here's a different record. says that when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For often he fell into the fire, and often he into the, I don't know what that is, and off into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Man says, this guy's, they couldn't do anything. And Jesus didn't exactly sound pleased. He didn't sound pleased. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Okay? Jesus just did it. All right? Then came the disciples to Jesus apart, saying, why could not we cast him out? Now, those are good disciples, right? You got the master, you're the student. Don't just say, oh, I can't do this, I quit. No, you go and you ask, you pursue, why did this happen? Why couldn't we do this? They had done it at other times, but they couldn't do it here. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed to hence, to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goes not out but by prayer and fasting. In other words, there is preparation for this particular spirit that had to come out. You have to be praying. You have to be in the right headset. You have to be prepared. Prepared for battle here, so to speak. You know, you got to go into training. Fasting is part of it. Prayer is part of it. Jesus was prepared. They weren't. So then, so there are things that prevent, okay? There are things that take it a notch above where it was before. The point is, again, I just make it a, it's not an if you doubt that it's possible to walk like Christ, then you got doubt. You'll never do it. The whole world has ministered doubt to you your whole life. But if you dare to trust the Lord in what he says, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will. You follow? Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verse 7. Again, I think we read this, but it says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one of you that asks, receives. And he that seeks, finds. And to him that knocks, it shall be opened. For what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father also, which is in heaven, give good gifts, give good things to them that ask him? I don't think that that is hyperbole. I think that Lord meant every word he said. And when I get there, you know, then I have what he says. Is, I know what it's like to be a father. I know how much I would work, how much I would do, how much I would sacrifice, whatever it took to provide the things that my family needs. God is a father, and he wants to do the same. And yet his ability, his power, is, there's nothing stopping him. There's nothing too hard for God. And it comes with the caveat, you're doing the word here. From chapter 5 all the way through 7, the Sermon on the Mount teaching. But the point is, whatsoever you ask, God wants to do this. Another place in Luke, it says, I'll give the Holy Spirit to anybody who asks me. And he will, and he has. Every single one of his children have the Spirit of God. Not every one of his children know how to use it, but they can ask. They can ask, and God will teach and show. I want to go to Ephesians now. In Ephesians chapter 1. Like I said, if you walk like Christ, then what? You'll have the prayer life that Christ had. I believe when he hung on the cross and he said, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. I believe God answered that prayer. I believe that with all my soul, with all my heart. I believe that anything my Lord asked his Father for. But he also, when he prayed in the garden, he says, if it by thy will and not mine. He didn't want to do the crucifixion. But he, if there was no other way, I'll do it. But he asked. But he was willing to do no matter what. Ephesians chapter 1. I want to look at this prayer here. This prayer in Ephesians, starting in verse 17. This is a prayer that I absolutely know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God will answer. You know why? Because he gives you the prayer that he wants you to pray so that you understand what he's talking about in the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians is talking about, you know, God's, what God has done, the miraculous things God has done, his purpose for the ages. He wants you to understand these things. And he wants you to pray these things. Look at this. And I want to make that statement again. You pray without doubt, he will answer this. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I want to bring out the first thing that most people screw up as Christians. The first sentence, talk about not believing what it says. Not doing what it says. It's very important to do what it says. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Who are you praying to? God, the Father of glory. Not Jesus. I mean, can we mess this up anymore? You're talking to the wrong guy. And I just don't know how to impress it without sounding angry in my mind. But do what you are told. Look at what it says in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Blessed be the God and the Father of Jesus Christ. This is Jesus' God. This is his Father. He's our Father. We're talking to our Father, not to our elder brother. Again, Christian church, you want to know why it's so powerless? They don't listen. They don't read, and they don't believe what it says. Want to do it their way, just like the Pharisees. Now, I'm not saying they're not nice people, and they don't have good hearts, and there's not a lot of love in them. They're just not obedient servants. Doing what they're told. Doing their duty. That the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and mights and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. I want to go back here. Go back to 17. That the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. God has given you his Holy Spirit. All right? It says that in verse 12. He's given you this so that you have wisdom and revelation. Revelation just means he can reveal to you the knowledge of him. Does God want you to know him? He's given you the Spirit, which will give you wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. When you read the Word and the Word all of a sudden lights up and you understand something, he's the one that has lit that up for you. That's revelation. You know, most people want to know which sandwich they ought to buy or which car they ought to purchase. Like God, they all break. What's the point? They're all the works of men's hands. They all fall apart. Just a matter of one's going to fall apart before the other. God will provide for you what you need. You'd be smart enough to figure that out. I'm talking about the knowledge of God. I'm talking about the knowledge of God. He will teach you of himself. He will open your eyes if you want it. He is the Father of glory. that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. He wants you to know. He wants the eyes of your heart, your understanding being enlightened, that you might know absolutely. And we're not talking about an intellectual knowing. We're talking about an experiential knowing. He wants you to know what is the hope of his calling. See, you want to talk about pronouns? People are like, don't talk to me about pronouns. Look at the pronouns, all right? You want to talk about pronouns? Look at his. It says, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Not your calling, his calling. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance. God wants you to know how much this is his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding riches of his power to usward? He wants you to understand these things. He wants you to know him. He wants you to understand the hope of his calling. He wants you to understand the inheritance. He wants you to understand these things. And the only way you're going to understand it in a wonderful, really, not just intellectual, but also experiential way, where it's going to be in your heart, is when you pray and ask him to show you these things. And you pray with faith and no doubt. I know my God wants me to understand this. See, most people pray about them, their stuff, it's self-centered. God wants us to pray this, to grow up and pray these things. Those are the little things, they'll be there. He knows what you have need of before you even ask. Why don't you pray the important things that he wants done? He wants you to see the exceeding power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And then he tells you what that is, which is the resurrection of Christ, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in heavenly places. He wants you to know this. And you will one day experience it. But he'd love to have you know it now and walk in it now. Without doubt. And again, that little doubt. You can take anything God says in his word. And exactly what the devil will say, just like he said to Jesus. If thou be the Son of God. If. Just one little word. Just go ahead and buy it. You buy that one little word. You've lost the faith. Go to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You keep your heart. Now, the heart is not talking about the emotional part of man. It's talking about that which is what makes you up, who you are as a man, as a woman, who you are as a believer. You keep your heart. You keep the foundation of what you know, and you don't let it go. You keep it with all diligence. It's important that you keep it with diligence. Because if you don't, guess what? It goes away. You forget who you are. You all of a sudden become compromised. You're no longer as steadfast as you should be. You keep it with all diligence because out of this come the issues of life. I am who I am for God, and this is how I walk in my life. If I don't keep my heart, if I don't keep those things which are most important, if I don't have this faith as a grain of mustard seed, and without doubt, that's how much faith you need. The faith is measured, just a little bit of faith do big things, without doubt. That's why the devil hit Jesus every time and make him doubt. That's why when you read these scriptures and you read these words, you have to get your heart. You got to keep these things in your heart and make them a part of who you are. You got to have the relationship that you have with your Father as part of your heart. My Father wants to answer my prayers. My Father wants to meet my needs. My Father wants me to walk like my Lord. My Father wants. And therefore, I got no doubt of those things. And the more I work it in my brain, the more I work it in my heart, then it becomes the issues of my life. And it's no longer just an intellectual exercise to learn the Bible. But now it's a walking day by day. I don't have to teach you how to breathe every day. Imagine that. Wouldn't want to go to sleep. It's part of your human makeup. It's part of life. Those functions go on, whether conscious or unconscious. It's part of your life. It's an example. When you get the word to be part of your heart, but you must diligently keep this. This is not an automatic response anymore. This is something that you have to keep. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Another wonderful prayer. And when you look through the book of Ephesians, and I'm planning on teaching it again, when I do, I'll let you know if you want to be a part of it. But in Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14, again, God had this prayer put here so that we would pray to understand what he has done here for us and for himself. In the book of Ephesians 3:14, it says, "For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Why do I bow my knee unto the Father? Because of everything it talks about in chapters 2 and 3. He saved us by grace. It was his Son who sacrificed himself for us. It was his sacrifice that brought us both one and made us one in Christ. He's the one that poured out the Spirit. You read the chapters. "But for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Guess what? We're a family. Everybody in heaven and on earth is family. Who's in heaven? Jesus and the angels. You got the 24 elders, all the other stuff that's up there in the book of Revelation. That the whole family in heaven and earth, it's family. I don't know. And that, you know, again, I understand the world we live in has caused a lot of doubt because it's trying to destroy the family. It's trying to, most kids are brought up, a whole bunch of kids are brought up without fathers. These guys, they got zero because they grew up without a father. Because the society we live in promotes things that are ungodly. So the responsibilities that people should take and would be normal and aren't taken. I'm not here to talk about all of those things today. But that's what the devil wants. He wants broken families. He wants confusion. He's getting it more and more as the years go by. God wants you to realize everyone in heaven, everyone on earth is family. The believers are family. John 3:14. Verse 15, it says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, your father, the head of this family, would grant you according to his grace, his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. God wants you to be strengthened with might with his spirit that he gave you. He gave it to you in chapter 1. He wants you to be strengthened with might in that spirit, in the inner man. The inner man is the Christ in you. He wants you to grow up and be strong in the spirit. I don't think most people even think about that, to be really honest. I want you to think about it. I want you to ask for it. I want you to experience what God wants to do with you. And this don't take years. This takes a moment of faith and heart and just then keeping it. I saw miracles when I first got in the Word and I didn't know nothing. I didn't know a blessed thing except that God loved me and Jesus died for me. And that I could use his name in prayer. And I watched God do great and wonderful things, not because of my knowledge, but because I dared to believe what he said. I want you to dare to believe what he says. He wants you to be strengthened with might. That means if you have to pray to be strengthened, that means you might not have everything you're supposed to have yet, right? You might not be fully exercised. You might not be like those guys who couldn't cast out the spirit with prayer and fasting. Whatever the heck it is, God, by his spirit, can teach it to you and can do it. Again, he needs an individual who's ready to do his duty. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. He wants this Christ in you. He wants this to be in your heart. Remember, you keep your heart with all diligence. He wants you to walk like his son. He's given you the ability. You have the God-given ability to walk like Christ. I don't care what you think right now. You do. The fact that it crosses your mind that you don't means that you have doubt. It's as simple as that. So, how do you not doubt? Well, you just make yourself think and You just practice and you just do. Just like anything else you do well in life. It takes a little bit of work and consistency. You want to be strengthened with might by that Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, the second most important. I mean, here you got, you want Christ to dwell in your heart by faith, and that you're rooted and grounded in love. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints, with all of those who are sanctified. You know what makes you sanctified? God, not you. You know what? When you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, you believed God raised him from the dead. He separated you out. He sanctified you. This ain't a work you do. It's the work he did. You couldn't sanctify yourself to save your life. He sanctified you. Because he sanctified you, therefore you can walk holy and without blame before him. You can choose to do that. As it says in Ephesians chapter 1. But again, understand, God wants you to pray this. He wants you to understand it. He wants you to know it. He wants you to live it. He wants you to have what he's given, what Jesus paid for, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and depth and height, multidimensional. The multidimensional, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You know, you read these prayers, go through them, but I want you to kick yourself and get your heart in the place where I'm going to pray this, I am going to believe this, I am going to ask the Father, I'm going to ask him for help in praying these things. You know, but it's yours to do, it's yours to have. But you got to do it with faith. And you got to do it with that humility. He says it, I'm going to do it. And you got to keep it such. So that's what I wanted to share with you today.